Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I worship you, Lord Jesus. Come on, hear from him. He's talking to you right now. What's he saying to your heart, to your life? I don't know about you, but after a long, hot day, sometimes you just need a fresh drink of water. The Holy Spirit is here, and he's saying this: out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That happens as you sit in his presence. The more you're in his presence, it's nothing you have to create. It's an automatic. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God just starts stirring in your heart. Now, some of you have come here, and you're tired. It's been a hard week. Some of you are spiritually tired. Some of you are spiritually dead. Some of you just need a fresh. My wife went away, you know, for 2 weeks. And I would like to say that it was just the 2 weeks. But I put my finger in her plant. And it was pretty bad. It was dead. So I started to water the thing, hoping it's going to come back, and it's dead. She came home yesterday. She said, I killed a plant we've had for 15 years. Listen, that's what happens when you're parched. That's what happens when you don't come and get a fresh drink of water. That's what happens when you don't sit in his presence. You know, men were... tough, strong. But the principle is the same, man or woman. And the principle is, you got to be in his presence, because it's there that you're refreshed. It's in these moments that, you know, we're not picking our nose or picking our friend's nose or thinking about hunting after service or what we want to do. Is the roast going to be good? Hopefully this week it was better than last. You know, you got to arrest all your thoughts. Bring every thought into captivity so that you can hear from God. This is the art of learning worship. Is arresting your flesh to allow the Spirit of God to gush through. And he longs to. He loves to. Because he has a word for you right now. God wants to speak to you right now. No one else knows what's going on in your head but God. Nobody knows what's going on in your heart but God. And he's attuned to you. He's listening to you. And he wants to touch you. But that doesn't always rely upon God. It relies upon whether we're going to get our antennas in line. Amen. Remember I was telling you about when I grew up as a kid, we had a TV, and we didn't have cable. We lived in a town called Phillipston. Dear Lord, everyone knew everybody. And here we were, and it was sitting in the living room on that green tweed chair. It was not a dark, it was like a mint green chair. For those in the 60s know what I'm talking about. Looking at one of those big console TVs. And my father said, get over there, because we couldn't get channel 38 in. Get over there and grab the antennas. He had aluminum foil on the end of each antenna. And then when it didn't come in, he had me pick it up and move around until it came in. Fine, stop. It's in. Don't move. Don't move. I didn't get to watch the TV. He did. Don't move. You come into church, you got a lot of fuzz, man. You just need to move around until you get what you get, what you came for. Once that comes in clear, you can watch the channel. God has a channel for you. He wants to touch you and change you this morning. He wants to encourage you. Some of you need encouragement. It's not going to come by your husband or your wife, your boyfriend, girlfriend, mama, and daddy. It ain't going to come that way. The only thing that really matters is when you're in his presence. That's when you find fulfillment. Everything else is the cherry on top. But the Sunday is the presence of Jesus. Amen? Today I want to just encourage you. Don't let this be a Sunday experience. Turn off country music in your car. Listen, I love FLN. But if it's not playing worship, turn off FLM and put on some good worship music. And on the way to work, get filled up. So you can mess people up at work. That anointing will overflow out of you. Amen? Learn how to worship in the shower. Amen. Go in the bathroom, crank on your music. It just gives you the only, some of you, if you have children, it's the only moment of peace and safety. Hallelujah. Lock the door, barricade it from your spouse. Glory to God. Just, this is your time. You've got to have this. You have to have this. This is your warfare. This is your preparation. It's called worship. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks. Can you please go to people you don't know? I know it's uncomfortable, but you know they're uncomfortable too. Maybe you don't know them. Maybe they don't know you. Shake their hand. Get their name and say, well, good morning. My name is. Please don't sit down. Please get right out of your chair. Go find somebody.
Hey family, has Jesus been a blessing to you this year? One of the things that you're going to find in Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. It says, freely as you've received, freely give. One of the things that we're going to be doing special is taking an offering specifically for Jesus, saying, happy birthday, King Jesus. These envelopes we're going to actually be handing out right inside your bulletin, and we'll be taking up the special offering on December 24th for our 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. services. One of the things that we've been doing all throughout this year is talking about the generous church. This is your opportunity to live generously by giving back to Jesus.
Oh, Christmas tree, yes, sir.
Stay on topic.
Okie doke, sorry about that. Listen, we have our normal Christmas Eve services coming up, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. We're having our Christmas production called Keep Christ in Christmas with a live nativity scene where we get to play with those aminals. Anyway, so make sure you're inviting your friends and your family to come out to our Christmas Eve services. Again, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., just normal Sunday service. And then Christmas Eve night at 7 p.m., we're having our candlelight service. So make sure you're inviting. Oh, I want one out. Invite your friends, invite your family. Make sure you're here.
All right, Randy, we should probably figure out what our next Awaken Monthly is going to be.
Shouldn't we wait for Marcus?
Nah, it's okay.
Is he coming?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Since it's December, we should probably do something Christmas-themed. Any ideas?
Ugly sweater party!
That's perfect!
We should also do Christmas karaoke. That, with the sweaters, would be amazing.
All right, so we have sweaters, karaoke, some other games. What else?
Well, since we usually do some sort of prize, how about $50 to the best sweater?
I like it.
What was that?
Good morning, family! Yes, we can clap. That was a great commercial. It was filmed while I was out of the country. You can tell because I'm looking and my cushions are the wrong way around and like stuff's out of place. And I'm like, yep, definitely wasn't there when they filmed that. But it's so good to be here today, Pastor Rhonda, and I'm so happy to be home. It's so good to be here. We're going to talk a little bit about South Africa in a couple minutes, but I just want to welcome you. If you're a guest and this is your first time in the house, would you just raise your hand? We want to get a guest packet to you. We're not going to make you stand. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to welcome you. We're going to get you a guest packet. If you're watching via live stream, welcome. Good morning. We love you. We're so happy that you're joining with us today. I just want to have two quick announcements. One is Christmas Eve service, which is not, no. Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. This is super confusing, so I'm going to try to clarify. It's on a Sunday, so we do have our normal two services that morning, but that night we're coming back at 7 p.m. for a candlelight service, okay? So we're going to church three times on Sunday. It's going to be awesome. And then the same thing is happening on New Year's Eve. It's also on a Sunday. We're having two normal morning services, and that night we're having a New Year's Eve service. What better way to bring in the new year than at church? We're so excited. Last announcement, as you saw on the commercial, we have Awaken Monthly tonight. It is our ugly sweater party. I am so excited. It's the one time it's socially acceptable to dress your worst and win a prize for it. It's going to be awesome. So if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, come. If you're married, if you have kids, we have childcare provided. We want to spend time with you. We have eggnog. We have fondue. We have a cash prize. We have Christmas karaoke, which is being led by Pastor Obina Ibo. So we are super excited. So if you would raise your hand, if you're between the ages of 18 to 30, we have our team walking up the aisles. They're going to get you a card with some information, but it's tonight, 5:30. If you're 18 or 30, between those two age groups, not older. We love you if you're older, but we got to stick with the rules. So Pastor Rhonda is going to come on up, and we're going to tell you a little bit about South Africa and all of that. So first we have to start with the awesome miracle working power of Jesus. So Jade has a testimony to share about the day before, well, a few days before we left.
Okay, so on Thanksgiving, I kind of noticed that I had some pain, a lot of pain in my face and in my jaw area. And I kind of thought, well, you know, I've had a cold, maybe it's just a sinus infection. But I started to notice it, and it kind of really bothered me. Well, for the next 2 days, I was unable to eat. I was in so much pain. All I could do was throw up. That was just how my body was coping with the pain. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Sunday morning at 2 a.m., the time is super important. That's why I'm saying it. Sunday at 2 a.m., Chad, and I'm taking you to the ER. We got to go see what's going on with you. They took me to the ER, told the doctor my symptoms, and he came back with a diagnosis. And he diagnosed me with trigeminal neuralgia, which is a nerve disorder of the face. And basically what was wrong was that the nerve in my face is connected to my brain, had a lot of pain and inflammation. And he told me this was a life sentence, that it was going to recur all my life. He said, you know, you have a possibility of your face sagging. I can give you a number four surgeon in Philadelphia. We can, you know, and he's just giving me all these things. And just this force rose up on the inside of me. That was the Holy Spirit that was just like, no, I don't accept that. I don't accept that. It was funny. I look at Chad. Chad's sitting on his phone playing a shooting game. And it's not that we don't love doctors. I love doctors. I respect doctors. But I'm a child of God. I have a better covenant with better promises. And sickness isn't part of that. So Chad took me home after I had been on an IV, and they loaded me up with meds. And he told me, like, pain meds aren't really going to work because if it's a nerve, it has to be treated differently. So you're just going to have to push through the pain. We went home, and I just cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I just called out to God. And I remember getting in the shower, and I couldn't stand. So I was lying on the floor of the shower, and I just said, Jesus, you have to heal me. I said, healing isn't an option. And I actually, this desperation rose up on the inside of me, and I said, I will not serve you if you are a liar. I said, I tell everybody about how you heal and how you restore, so you have to do it for me. You have to. It's not an option. You know, it's the kind of pain where I actually asked the Lord, I said, if you don't, then just take me home. I said, I know I have a lot to accomplish. I know I have a husband. I know I have family, but just take me home because I don't think I can do it. But it's like I got out of that shower, a new woman. I looked to Chad and I said, go downstairs, get the anointing oil. I need you to anoint my face. So Chad came upstairs and he anointed my face. Then I said, what does the Bible say? The Bible says you take the sick before the elders. So I came to church that morning, went right into Pastor Spencer's office. He laid hands on me. He prayed for me. Pastor Rhonda laid her hands on me. I received my miracle. Now, what you have to know is I still felt the symptoms. The symptoms were still there, but I knew that I was healed. So this is Sunday. We drive to Rochester because Pastor Ron and I are getting on a plane at 5 a.m. that next morning. We drive to Rochester. I'm still feeling the symptoms. I'm crying out to God. God, you have to do something. You have to give me a miracle. You have to heal me. It's not an option. I'm your child. You don't do this to me. So anyway, we go, and Pastor Rhonda said, listen, I want you to go to bed and don't worry about tomorrow. We'll figure it out. Chad said the same thing. He said, don't worry. If you feel like you can't take on the plane tomorrow, it's okay. Like, just, I want you to go to bed. I went to bed. I slept that night for the first time in 3 days. I slept a full night's sleep. My alarm went off at 3 a.m. Now, 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, I was diagnosed with a nerve disorder that was going to change my life. At 3 a.m. on Monday morning, my alarm went off to get on the plane. I got in the shower. I'm showering, and I'm like, I yell, Chad, I have no pain. I have no pain. And God healed me in 24 hours. He's so good. He is so good. So I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. So many of us, we fight so hard and we don't see a result and then we give up. But God is faithful. That woman with the issue of blood, she didn't give up. She pushed. I see her in my face crawling to grab onto the robe of Jesus. We got to push. We got to do it. He is a miracle working God, and I'm so excited.
Amen. Amen. Wow, God is so
does miracles today, and Jesus is always the answer. Jesus is always the answer. So then we were able to go to South Africa on the mission that we were sent to do, and I just want to say, one person can change an entire region. Jade's mom, Janita, has powerful influence over many people, and she chose to use her influence to share that Jesus is the answer with the people around her. So it started with one woman sharing the influence, and she decided to do a No More Hurt conference there at the River Church in East London. And from her influence, she influenced the people that she knew, and then they influenced the people that they knew. And they ended up selling 432 tickets to women. Now listen, these weren't church women. They hadn't even announced it in church at that point. These were their business friends. They were their employees. They were their coworkers. These were high-level business women and business owners that brought their own employees. One businesswoman, she's very high in the financial business realm, and she was telling us the day after, she said, "I'm walking around my office just declaring, I cannot afford to be offended." Now, this is not even a church person, and they got the message that Jesus is the answer. But the exciting part was it came from the boldness of the women in that church to share that Jesus is the answer with everyone around them. What if we chose to do that same thing right here? Because Jesus is always the answer. Jesus is the answer for your boss. Jesus is the answer for your employees. Jesus is the answer for your coworkers. And when they brought all those women together and we were able to share the goodness and the freedom of Jesus, women's lives were forever transformed. They have been so changed, and they are so hungry for more of the Word of God. We have several of the ladies that are now going to do the class, the 8-week class that we have videoed with these women to keep them connected and to bring them to Jesus. There were salvations. There were women just completely set free. It was a powerful, powerful impact. And thanks to God healing His miracle working power, we were able to go forward with such an amazing impact that we know will continue. But it all started with one person. Who will you share Jesus is the answer with? Who will you? But because He is. I mean, Jade's sitting here shaking her head because she knows for real Jesus is the answer. Do we know for real that Jesus is the answer? He is. And as we're sitting here this morning singing the song that He's a miracle worker, He's real. Invite your friends, your family, your coworkers, your bosses, your employees to find Jesus boldly, just like the women of South Africa did. And they are, the testimonies will continue to pour in from what God has done. So thank you so much for allowing us to be absent, to take the word of the Lord overseas and bless our sisters over there. We're also going to be now doing a No More Hurt for you all right here in this house, because I don't think it's fair to keep doing it everywhere else and not do one right here. So we're going to be doing a conference open to men and women, because that was one of the biggest things that we heard when we were over there. But we need this for the men too. We were able to go on a radio show, the Christian radio station over there, and the gentleman interviewing said at the end, "You need to do this for men because we need this too." So we are opening that up here in January 19th and 20th, right here, open for men and women. So make sure you invite people out. And we just want to say thank you so much for your prayer support and being with us as we went over there and made a powerful impact bringing Jesus to even the unchurched.
Amen. Also, what was very interesting, and this is where you and I realize our impact, is the senior pastor over there was saying, you don't realize how far the impact is of his Tabernacle Family Church. He actually is participating with our trainings, our leadership trainings, using them right there in South Africa. So it's exciting to see that right here in the middle of the cornfield, there's still corn over there, in the middle of the cornfield, we are not children of the corn. We are children of the King. Amen? And we're changing lives all over. I just want to take a moment with all of us. These are the commitments of all the folks that declared they were going to tithe for 1 year. And the bishop has sent his book. We've got 4 cases. Now, when you look at this, it's $12.95. He sent 300 of them. He is sowing over $3,000 into you and I so that we will be encouraged. The name of the book is Your Path to Plenty, Keys to Superabundance. So everyone that signed these and gave their commitment, you're going to get a book as a family, and we're going to be able to do that here in the next few weeks. It'll be exciting. So let's just pray. Father, I declare, Lord, as I've been praying, Lord, daily, over all these folks that are declaring that they will tithe for 1 year to serve you, to God share the increase with you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the devil will not discourage them. We thank you that they will be focused. We thank you, Lord, even the sowing of the bishop into the people, that God, it will bring them to a new level, even in their finances, in their faith, and seeing the great things that God has for them. Lord, we love you, and we thank you that your word is true, and that, God, it changes our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Pastor Rhonda.
As we enter this time of prosperity, because God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. In Malachi 3, it says, when we tithe, we walk under an open heaven. And as Brother John Avanzini spoke to us, an open heaven is far more than finances, because financial blessing and prosperity is awesome and it's great and it goes through every season of life. But even more than that, like when Pastor Jade cried out to Jesus for healing, an open heaven is an open heaven for healing and restoration and everything that we need for life. So it is so important that we walk in the obedience of God's prosperity. So this morning, we're going to be receiving our tithes and offerings. And when we do, in your bulletin, as announced, was a happy birthday, King Jesus, because it's the only person that ever has a birthday where everybody else always gets gifts. So we want to remember in our generosity to give to the greatest giver. So we've placed some of these envelopes, if you didn't get a bulletin, so that you can come up and take those when you bring your tithes and offerings in, so you as a family can prepare your special gift for your generous King, who is the giver of all good things. So this Christmas season, we're going to get the opportunity to give special gifts to our King. So make sure you bring, when you bring your offering, that you grab one of these envelopes or grab it from your bulletin. I'm sure they're also in the back where the offering envelopes are, or at the hub. But make sure you grab one so you can prepare your gift for the King. Are you ready to give and walk in financial prosperity and under an open heaven? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration together. And in this house, we bring our offerings to the Lord. We don't shake you down in your seat. You willingly bring your offerings to the Lord. So if you would repeat after me from his word, Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. Oh, come on. We need to declare this today. God cannot lie. His word is truth. When we obey, we walk under an open heaven. So repeat it after me. If I obey. Wow. I am. You guys need to tell me and I'll repeat after you. I'm blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. You can give right along with us or text to give.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Boy, I tell you, one thing I do is I love church, and I love being in the presence of the Lord. I love worshiping with you. My wife and I are so blessed to be your pastors. You know, there are churches all over the place, and man, I've been in a lot of churches. I traveled as an evangelist for many years, and I've been to a lot of places. I've listened to a lot of pastors, and my wife and I are just so blessed. We just want to say it again. Thank you for allowing us to be your pastors. It is a tremendous blessing to us. Amen? Last week was the season of forgiveness. Isn't it great to be in a season that Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, he died so that you and I could be forgiven? How many of you are glad you've had your sins washed away? Well, that doesn't sound too good. I said, how many of you are glad your sins are washed away? How many of you are glad that you've learned how to forgive yourself? How many of you are forgiving yourself? Amen. How many of you are forgiving other people? How many of you had to step out and forgive somebody last week that was really tough? Look at the hands go up. Amen. Doesn't it feel great? Isn't it great being liberated? You see, today, what I love about the season of Christ is that he gave us so many gifts. I want to talk about another one in the season, and it's called the season of deliverance. Deliverance is so powerful because deliverance literally means liberation or freedom or emancipation. And there are so many believers that are not free. We sang that song, Freedom, and I love that song, but many believers are not free. They've gotten saved, truly. Their now sins are washed away. If they die, they go to heaven. But they're not living in the freedom of Christ. They're not living in what Jesus has for them. They're living only half free. They're only living in a position to where, hey, you know, I'm still struggling with the things of the past. And I want you to recognize that Jesus loves you so much that in this season of deliverance, he wants to set you free even from those things that are the most difficult that you've struggled the most and the longest with. I want you to know that Jesus is able to deliver you. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son has set you free, you are truly free. Now that means, listen now, we got to look at that. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. So if you're not free indeed, has the Son set you free? One more time. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. So if you're not free, has the Son set you free? The answer is this. Freedom has already been paid for, but freedom has to be received and lived within. And there are a lot of us, the Son has already paid the price, but we have not stepped into our freedom. Just like salvation, this is the greatest freedom that we have, is that Jesus has set us free, and free indeed. And that is from the power of sin. There is nobody in this room, there is nobody on this planet that hasn't already had their sins paid for by Jesus Christ. He already paid the price that he did not owe. We owe a price we could not pay. And the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that Christ has given us freedom from our sin. Freedom, the greatest part, from the penalty of sin. And he took on that penalty himself. You see, when he was destroyed on that cross, and I'm telling you, when you start to really study the pain that Christ paid for on that cross, it was brutality. It was established, and it was one of the cruelest ways that a human being could die. And he did that because unless there is shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. God so loved us that he said, I want my people to be delivered. I want to set them free. I want them to know me. I want them to walk with me and talk with me. I want what Adam and Eve lost to be restored. I want to provide deliverance. So I'm going to send my greatest gift, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. His name is Jesus, the Messiah. And he said, if I send them, if I send my Christ, if I send my anointed one, if I send my Son and he dies, it will bring deliverance to all those who want to be free. The amazing part is not everybody wants to be free. Do you ever talk to somebody, well, I don't want that God stuff. Well, you know what? The fact is that the God stuff is not about you and I you know, joining a religion. It's about you and I being free by the price that Christ paid. Well, whether they understand it or not, what they're actually saying is, I would rather be in bondage than in freedom. Now, bondage is a very interesting concept because bondage does this. Now, listen, I have some examples. If I could have my examples, come on out. Are you ready? It's going to take us a little bit to make this happen. Where are my guys now? Are they out here? Where are they? Where's the SWAT team? Well, come on. Quick. Very good. We've got some real exciting moments in front of us. I think we got one more. Pastor Dan, can you come hold this microphone for me? You are? Oh. How do you start these things? I think I got one. Wow. Got one. We should have started those first. Here we go. You ready? Hands that way, your side. Nick, come here. Hold this. Ready? See, what's amazing is that some people are in complete bondage from top to bottom. That was his mother. But some people, what's amazing when you look at the Saran wrap is that you really can't see it. And that people that are in bondage can't see their own bondage. Hold on, who's next? Wow. Come on over here. Okay, we're ready. All right, guys, I need you in a line. Now, this is the end goal. This is the prize right here. Okay? So I'm going to put this right there. Now, what I want you to do is, this is a race to see who can get to. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. No, you got to pick it up. You got to use your hands. Huh? What's going on here? You see, this gentleman, Dave, might have the freedom to move quicker, but his hands are in bondage. Donnie. This young man might have the freedom of his legs, but everything else is in bondage. This young man is simply completely in bondage. You see, the problem with many believers is the fact that we've been saved, our sins are washed away, but we're living in the bondages of our past. That's why you see some believers that struggle desperately and can never seem to be free from every one of their problems. They're always, they're in love with God 1 minute and hate God the next. They're in victory 1 minute and complete defeat the next minute. Whether it be unforgiveness or whether it be sin or whether, no matter what your issue is that you're hanging on to, until you allow he whom the Son has set free is free indeed, until you receive your freedom, then even though you're going to heaven, you're still messed up. And this is where many believers are. Man, the fact is that this guy, he can run around, but he can't really do much. He can't receive. He can't step into God's blessing for his life. He can't watch. He cannot do God's will for his life because he's still in bondage. Are you born again? Yes, he loves Jesus. But he's in bondage because he is allowing something from the past never to be liberated from. Here, this gentleman here, man, he can move quicker. He can move his upper body quicker. He looks freer. But the fact is he still can't do everything that God has for him. See, God's plan is he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. God's plan is that you are able to reach your destiny and your purpose and the reason for your living and not be one that's always got to struggle. Aren't you sick and tired of struggling? Aren't you sick and tired on that roller coaster ride with Jesus? Aren't you sick and tired of 1 minute you see victory, the next minute you see defeat? The only way to conquer that is to be a person that receives the freedom that Christ has. Bruce literally did not need to sprint over. He kind of trotted over. That's all he's got. He trotted over, and while they're trying to pick it up with their mouth, he just reaches over and picks it up, and it's all his. See, the fact is that what God has for you is all his. And what God has is all free. And what God has, he doesn't want you to have to struggle to receive it. In fact, he's not trying to make you jump through little hoops all over the place to be some perfect individual. But he wants you to be free and free indeed so that when it's time for you to receive, you're able to reach down, pick it up, and enjoy it. See, he could get a toy, but he's never going to enjoy the toy. He likes guns. Well, you know, I could buy him a brand new gun. And he go, all he can do is stare at his gun. Why is that? Well, because he can't get his hands. His hands are in bondage. Every one of us are represented somewhere in this realm. You're either free and free indeed, or one of these other people are representing your life spiritually. And the issue is not that God hasn't paid the price for you to be free. The issue is, do you want to be free? Because there is somewhat of cost of freedom. Free isn't free. You ever talk to anybody that's served in the armed forces, the one of the things you'll realize real quickly is that freedom isn't free. But there comes a place when you allow yourself to be free. When you see, now what happens is, you see, I'm not tearing it off in one big piece because it will gather together and remain too strong for me to break. But one step at a time, Jesus will take one thing out of your life, and then all of a sudden, you'll be free. The issue is you've got to allow him to take those things out of your life. Now, I love Donnie. But the fact is that Donnie couldn't stand up and stay standing if he wanted to. If I want to kick Donnie, what are you going to do, Donnie? And many of you are feeling that. The devil's kicking you all over the place, and he's pushing you around, and he's not allowing you to continue. And the reason is not because God hasn't paid. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But you haven't allowed that freedom to come into your life because you're still holding on to the saran wrap from the past. One step at a time, one little break at a time, one little rip at a time. See, Christ is working things out of your life one piece at a time. And all of a sudden, now Donnie can get up. Well, maybe not. Look it, Donnie got up. But Donnie's still not free. And this is some of you. Jesus paid the price. You got up, but you're still hanging on to the sins of your past. You're still playing with the sins of your past. You're still living in that unforgiveness. You're still living in those addictions. You're still living in those thought processes that you know that are ungodly. You still have relationships with people that you shouldn't have relationships with. And God is saying, listen, you got up, but I don't want you just to get up. I want you to be free. I want you to enjoy the gift. Listen, Dave, I want you to enjoy that new gun that I bought you. Some of you got to get rid of your booze. Some of you got to get rid of your alcohol. Come on now, I said that twice. Why? Because I really believe in my spirit. There is something going on in the church world today where the church world, many preachers are validating alcoholism. If you are in bondage, Jesus paid the price. And the great part is he's not going to strip it all from you maybe in one day. It's one piece at a time. Where he says, listen, I'm taking this off now. Let me take it off. Come on, trust me. You see, because when you're all wrapped in this cocoon, you got a little mentality of safety. You're still preserving your past. Isn't that what saran wrap does? Preserves. The longer you're in saran wrap, the longer you're preserving your past. And Christ is saying, listen, I've got a new free future for you. I want you to be free. I want you to run. I want you to have. I want you to fulfill. I want you to be who I've called you to be. But you cannot be that if you're remaining in bondage. Thank you. Isn't that good? Come on, give these guys a big hand clap. Thank you. You can leave it right there, guys. Enjoy. These are the problems that we find in the body of Christ where so many truly love Jesus. Now listen, I mean that. I genuinely mean that. They truly love Jesus. But the greatest factor that Christ has is not just that you get to heaven, because how many of you know you're not there yet? How many of you know you're not in heaven yet? You know, the old church taught us that heaven was everything. Heaven isn't everything. Whoop, step onto some religious cow right here. Whoosh. The Bible says, and this is eternal life, John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. Which means knowing him is the greatest part of eternity. Heaven is, is the cherry on top. But here we are, many believers get saved and think, well, now I'm going to heaven, it's all set. No, he's called you to be free here on this planet. He's called you to be free right here on earth. He's given you gifts, and it's called freedom from bondage. Turn to someone and say, I'm free from bondage. Some of you got to be free from the sins you have. He's given you a gift in the season of deliverance, of freedom from your sins. Some of you like your sins so much, but listen, your sins don't like you. There's always a taskmaster that has to be paid for a lifestyle. Sin is fun, but for a season. And then you got to pay the price. Can I hear an amen? Sin always costs. There has never been a place in the scripture where sin has not cost. There is always a cost to sin. But Jesus loves us so much, he said, listen now, I don't care what your sin is. If you come after me, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'll help you be free. I'll break that bondage in your life. I'll break and bring deliverance in your life. That is my passion. That is my joy. This is what I love about Jesus. His greatest joy is to forgive you. And then his greatest joy is to make sure that you're not struggling, but you're free. He does not want you out of freedom. He wants you to live inside of freedom. Some of you, you need this season of deliverance because you've been dealing with sickness and disease and you've never found a way out. You know, many of us live in sickness and disease because we've never been taught how properly to activate faith in our life to destroy the diabolical attack in our physical bodies. But God wants you to understand that. And that's where you start coming to rock solid faith. Can I hear an amen? Come on, somebody say, next step's one. If you haven't joined, you need to join. It's going to bring deliverance to you. And then the last, of course, is diabolical habits in your life. So many people have habits in their life that are so evil. But you don't want to give them up because they're all you've got from your past. You've got to learn how to step into your future. But you can't hang on to the future. You can't step into the future if you're always hanging on to your past. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Some of you got soul ties that need to be broken. What is a soul tie? A soul tie is an evil relationship from the past that only brings destruction in your life. Many times they're boyfriends and girlfriends. Many times they're relationships, and usually a sexual action has happened that causes a soul tie. And the Lord is saying, listen, I didn't call you to be in bondage. I didn't call you to be tied to somebody else. I called you to be tied to me. Some of you got addictions. Some of you are smoking. Some of you are drinking. Some of you are toking. One of my fun stories was one day a guy came to my office. He said, Pastor, I just want to be free. And I said, awesome. And he hands me a pack of Marlboros. And I said, well, praise the Lord, brother, man. God's going to do it because Jesus wants you free. And he said, well, you should probably open it. I opened it up, and there's a nickel bag and 4 or 5 joints. And I said, now I'm going to jail. You know, I know 40-year-olds in this church that still smoke weed. Listen, if you need alcohol, someone said to me, well, I just need a glass of wine every night to relax. Then you're in sin and you're in bondage. Because if you need booze or some weed to bring peace in your life, then you are not seeking after the Prince of Peace. And you will be owned by that. You know, I always call those that struggle with alcohol. Listen, there's no worse thing that I've seen as a pastor than those that are owned by liquid. I can't tell you how many families I've seen destroyed by liquid. I can't tell you how many relationships I've seen destroyed by liquid. How many relationships with God have been destroyed by liquid? Well, I don't feel bad of having a glass of wine. But the person that now is sitting beside you that was delivered from alcoholism now is being tempted. And man, your freedom is now bringing them back into bondage. There comes a place when we learn that our freedoms are not free if it's just tripping somebody else up. Can I hear an amen? God wants to set you free in every area of your life. But you've got to want it. I'm almost done. I can't take my time. I wish I could. You ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? That's when President Lincoln signed the freedom for the African Americans. See, back in those days, it was especially down south, and it was definitely up north as well, but most people had a slave. Now, if you think slavery has ended in our era, I need you to understand something. We might be a country that doesn't promote it, but slavery is very normal all over the world right now. Jay, come on now. You just went to set some sex slaves free. In Nepal. It's all over the world. But in America, President Lincoln signed a paper. It was called the Emancipation Proclamation. There was one slave owner. And what they always did is they had a certain slave that they allowed to live within their house and allowed, they learned English. They usually learned how to read and write, and they were more educated, and they served within the home. And so the letter went out, the Emancipation Proclamation, Declaration of Freedom for the African Americans, and many slave owners never told their people that they were free. So there were many, 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 many places that all these folks that were free were never stepping into their freedom because they did not know. That's why you got to share Jesus. People don't know they're free unless you tell them that Christ has set them free. So one day, this slave owner didn't tell any of his people. The slave that was educated walked into the office, and there he had left the Emancipation Proclamation sitting on his desk. He read the Emancipation Proclamation. He ran out into the fields. We're free! We're free! We're free! And he started declaring their freedom, holding the piece of paper that was a legal document declaring by the United States of America that men were not to own other men anymore. Then the Emancipation declared that there was a freedom for the African Americans. They no longer had to be owned by somebody, but they were free, and free indeed. What was amazing was this, is that many of them walked off the plantation and walked into their freedom. But many said, I've been here so long, this is the only life I know, I'm happy where I'm at, I'm not going anywhere. This is where many people are. Jesus paid for all the freedom that there was. The Emancipation Proclamation has been signed by his blood. It is called the Word of God. But yet there are many believers that choose to remain in bondage to the enemy, in bondage to sin, in bondage to their old lifestyle, in bondage to the demonic. And God is saying, listen, my son paid the entire price. You no longer have to remain on that plantation. You no longer have to remain in that place of bondage. The son has set you free, and it's time to get up. It's time to walk off. It's time to step back from your old. It's time to step back into your new. It's time to be free in Christ, and it's time to declare that if my God had paid the price, then it's mine to lay hold of. See, and until you do that, you can't receive your freedom. You're still going to hang on to the people in your past. You ever heard of the story of Cortez? He was a man that was, I got to end. He was a man that was working for Spain, and he came in and he was finding the new world. We always talk about Christopher Columbus, Cortez. Now, sadly enough, I found out that this wasn't historically true, but it's a really good story. Cortez pulled into the bay, and he told all his men to get off their ship, take everything off the ship, and bring it to shore, because they were going to conquer the new world. They were going to find gold. He got them off onto the shore, and then he went back to the ships and burned all of them so they could never go back. Some of you have never burned your ships, and you're remaining in the chains and shackles of the bondage of your past lifestyle, and you've never allowed Christ to take the key and set you free. See, this is the season of deliverance. You don't have to walk out of this Christmas season and say, I'm the same person that I was. Whatever it is that you're living in, whatever sin that you have in your life, no matter what it is, the Son has set you free. No matter what bondage you have in your life, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental, whether it be in every area of your life, God has paid the price so that you can be free in Jesus. It's time to live a life of freedom instead of bondage, so that when you see your gift, you can walk over to it with both hands, embrace it. You can open open it up, you can reach inside and you can live the life of deliverance that Christ, Jesus Christ, he paid for. And that's what this season is all about. This is the season of deliverance. What sin are you hanging on to? What lifestyle are you hanging on to? What mindset are you hanging on to? What soul tie is holding you back? What bondage, what addiction still has you tethered and is not allowing you to run this full race to win? That's the decision that you and I make. Christ paid for it. It's paid for. It's done. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So the price is paid. The question is, will you walk off the old plantation to walk into your new life, or remain because it's more comfortable? Ooh. Can I hear an amen? It's not that you won't be tempted to go back to the old lifestyle. It's not that you won't be tempted to go back to the old bondage. You know, you'll look at your friends and you'll say, listen, man, I don't drink anymore. I don't party anymore. I'm not going to go hang out with you anymore. And they look at you and they start laughing at you. What are you, weak? What's wrong with you, man? I liked you better before you went to that cult. Anybody ever heard that one before? What, you're not going to have sex with me anymore? I've been your boyfriend for 3 years. That's right, honey. If it's good enough to lay, if it's good enough to bed, it's good enough to wed. Can I hear an amen? Some of you ladies need the bungee cord. Can I hear an amen? We're in this position where we've got to make decisions. Do you choose to be free or do you choose to be in bondage? Do you choose to run unhindered, untethered? Or do you choose to run carrying something from your past that will hold you back? Listen, it's as easy as unforgiveness. Some of you just don't want to forgive. Well, I was offended at that church. Grow up. I just did it again. Now you got two offenses. It's time to grow up. Because the longer you're offended, the less you'll ever fulfill your destiny. Can I hear an amen? Today, in this year of generosity, the generous deliverance, the season of deliverance is here. And I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar real quickly. Today, I don't know whether it's sickness, whether it's sin, whether it's an addiction. I don't know whether it's a soul tie, but this I know, that the men and women of God who are standing at this altar, Pastor Andrea, standing at this altar, when they lay hands on you, the power of God's going to gush through you. The freedom of God is going to come upon you. And it's going to be a new day just for you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join religion. I'm not asking you to join a church. I want you to know God. Today, if you do not know Christ, Jesus, as your Savior, that's the greatest thing he gave, the season of forgiveness. If you don't know Jesus and you want him in your life today, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always. Yes, young man, I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Yes, sir, right in the back. I see your hand as well, young man. Is there anyone else? Come on now, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. I see your hand, young man. How old are you? In the back, there's another person. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, young lady. Amen. How old are you? Ma, how old is he? He's 4 years old. He just raised his hand for Jesus to come into his life. While a four-year-old don't know what they're doing, that is not true. Jesus said, let the little kids come to me. They get it better than the adults. Amen? So if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you all that raise your hand for salvation to be very brave. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hand, I'll go up with you. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Step right out of your chair. Come right up and meet me right here, right now. Come on, be bold, be brave. Come on, Ben. Come on, you got it. There you go. Be bold, be brave. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Amen. Amen. This is Mindy. She's going to pray with you, minister to you, if you'll just go right on over there with her. Amen. And everybody else, shout this with me out loud. Thank you, Jesus, for my freedom. I declare that I am free in Christ, that I'll turn away from my past bondage. I come against my old sin. I come against sickness. And I come against right now any bondage from my past. I am free in this season of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Have a great day. Don't forget, man, you need to be here for Christmas. It's going to be awesome. How many of you are going to at least invite five people? Go get them. Fill this house with the Lord.